The valley people swore they'd have it for their very own. treasure on the mountain, dark and red. Turn the stone and look beneath it. Peace on earth was all it said.
Find the pot of gold that's waiting where the rainbow ends. I searched and searched and searched and searched and searched and searched, and then there it was, deep in the grass, under an old and twisted bough. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine at last. What do I search for now?
About rainbows, and what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions, and rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. I know their wrong way and see.
Christianity is mainly wishful thinking. Even the part about judgments reflects the wish that someday the score will be evened up. Dreams are wishful thinking. Children playing at being grown-ups is wishful thinking. Interplanetary travel is wishful thinking. Sometimes, wishing is the wings the truth comes true on. Sometimes, the truth is what sets us wishing for it.
But are we only wishing? This vision of what we're supposed to be, of what we can be, of what we will be, is it only a dream? It seems too good to be true, something we've dreamed up and believe in because we wish it were true. Do we dare to live such a dream? What if it's only an illusion? But then again, how can we know whether it's true or not? Is logic or reason our only way of telling what is true? What if scientific truth is an illusion?
Again from Beacon. When Jesus says that he has come to bear witness to the truth, Pilate asks, what is truth? contrary to the traditional view that his question is cynical, it is possible that he asks it with a lump in his throat. Instead of truth, Pilate has only expedience. His decision to throw Jesus to the wolves is expedient. Pilate views man as alone in the universe with nothing but his own courage and ingenuity to see him through. It is enough to choke up anybody. Pilate asks, what is truth? And for years there have been scientists, politicians, theologians, philosophers, poets, and so on to tell him. The sound they make is like the sound of empty pails falling down the cellar stairs.
Universe and its ways, and consists largely of weighing, measuring, and putting things in test tubes. To assume that this kind of investigation can unearth solutions to all man's problems is a form of religious faith whose bankruptcy has only in recent years started to become apparent. There is a tendency in many people to suspect that anything that can't be weighed, measured, or put in a test tube is either not real or not worth talking about. That is like a deaf man's suspecting that anything that can't be smelled, tasted, touched, or seen is probably a figment of the imagination.
I'm not saying that we should stop thinking or be some mindless anti-intellectuals. I'm just wondering if we can't use all of our minds. A dreamer is not out of his mind. He just is in a different one. The left side of our brain is trained to analyze and to think logically and rationally from our external experiences. It is associated with daylight, with building, with seeing. The right side functions in the realm of imagination and dreams, and it thinks intuitively from what it experiences. It is associated with moonlight and music and hearing. And we in Western civilization have a highly trained and developed left brain. But the other half of our brain almost sits there like a big cauliflower or something. It is another sense that we don't use, and so it isn't developed, and so we don't trust enough to use it, and so it doesn't get developed, and so on. But if we could just trust it for a moment, we might see that there's more to reality than what we can prove logically. It's like reason is a knife that we cut away with to get to truth. But to get to truth, we have to turn the stone over. Or reason is a tower that we build. And we climb up so we can see the truth. But we have to hear it also. Or reason is a mountain that we climb. But to come to truth, we must leap. This next song is about a man who couldn't make such a leap. He demands proof from his lover that her love is true. The only problem is that what he demands, the proof he demands, is impossible. The part that I will sing says something else.
Spoke the language of the flowers. Once I understood each word the caterpillar said. Once I smiled in secret at the gossip of the starlings and shared a conversation with the housefly in my bed. Once I heard and answered all the questions of the crickets and joined the crying of each falling, dying flake of snow. Once I spoke the language of the flowers. How did it go? How did it go?
Vincent van Gogh was a man who spoke another language through his art. And he listened to the flowers. He listened to the voice in the depth of his being that told him to learn. Perhaps he could hear so well because he had a left brain that was not strong enough to dominate him. He was so right-minded that people thought he was insane. If we could only see that those of us without a functioning intuition are every bit as handicapped as those we consider mentally retarded or deficient or deaf or numb or blind. Vincent was a saint, for he believed what he heard and dreamed, and lived what he believed. And he suffered for it, as an artist, as a faithful, nonconformist in an unwilling and unhearing world. He wrote, "You will ask, what is my definite aim? That aim becomes more definite, will stand out slowly and surely as the rough draft becomes a sketch, and the sketch becomes a picture, little by little. You said, since then I have changed so much that I'm not the same any longer. Well, that is not quite true. If there's been any change at all, it is that I think and believe and love more seriously now what I thought and believed and loved then. Summer's day, with eyes that watch the world and can't forget the faces that you've met. Ragged men in ragged clothes, the silver thorn, the bloody rose, eyes crushed and broken on the virgin snow. Now I think I know what you tried to say to me, how you suffered for your sanity, how you tried to set us free, but we could not love you, but still your love was true. And when no hope was left inside, on that starry, starry night, you took your life as lovers often do. But I could have told you, Vincent, this world was never meant for one as beautiful as you.
Joke and they sing of the happiest things and everything's jolly and gay. There's no one unhappy and happy. There's laughter and smiles galore. I have been to the land of happy. What a bore.
Martin Luther King Jr. on nonviolence. I've seen too much hate to want to hate myself. Every time I see it, I say to myself, hate is too great a burden to bear. Somehow we must be able to stand up before our most bitter opponents and say, we shall match your capacity to inflict suffering by our capacity to endure suffering. We will meet your physical force with soul force. We will not only win freedom for ourselves, we will so appeal to your heart and conscience that we will win you in the process. Of course, you may say this is not practical. Life is a matter of getting even, of hitting back, of dog-eat-dog. Maybe in some distant utopia, you say, that idea will work, but not in the hard, cold world in which we live. My own answer is that mankind has followed the so-called practical way for a long time now, and it has led inexorably to deeper confusion and chaos. Time is cluttered with the wreckage of individuals and communities that surrendered to hatred and violence. For the salvation of our nation and the salvation of mankind, we must follow another way.
The way of the kingdom. The vision which is the kingdom, or queendom of love, is not only the land at the end of some long road, it is the road itself. To live the kingdom is to live the way of the kingdom. We get to the kingdom by means of the kingdom, now. And the means of the kingdom are patient and long-suffering servanthood. We'd like to dedicate this next piece to Dorothy Day as one who dared to live the dream and walk the road and gave a lifetime pouring out oil and wine for those who fell. Catholic workers were murdered in El Salvador. John Lennon was gunned down in front of his apartment. Blessed are the peacemakers. Let the vineyards be fruitful, Lord. Gather a harvest from the seeds that were sown. Gather the hopes and dreams of all. And give us a foretaste of the feast to come.
To another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams.
Now I say to you today, even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slaveholders will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the people's injustice, suffering with the heat of opposition, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but the content of their character. That's our hope. This is the faith.
This is the faith that I go out to the world with, the faith with which we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. Together, it is the start of a new reality.